If you've ever been to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, you know that it's there's a lot to do there. There's a lot of neat things to see, a lot of good restaurants. In fact, our son Eric and daughter-in-law Stephanie just went there yesterday in celebration of their fifth wedding anniversary, which was on Friday, and visited the Sight and Sound Theater. But not far from the Sight and Sound Theater is a life-size mock-up, a model of the Old Testament tabernacle. And if you've never visited that, that's also a place worthy of visiting, to go in and to see how the tabernacle, as you remember, when God brought Moses and the people out of captivity in Egypt, and as they traveled those 40 years in the wilderness before going into the promised land, God had set forth very clear plans for the design of the tabernacle. And there God was visibly present. They're visibly present within the Holy of Holies, above the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Tabernacle, inside the inner chamber of that tent. He was visible, it said, as a cloud by day and as a pillar of fire at night. But we know that this design, this tabernacle of God, was a design of God that was foreshadowing yet another tabernacle, another temple. And we know that in that temple, there at the Holy Mount of Jerusalem, that there were the various temples that were built over the period of the Jewish rule. And of course, the last being Herod's great temple during the time of Jesus. And this was yet another foreshadowing of what was to come, the pattern that God was establishing and making visible his presence to the people. For God would no longer abide as a tabernacle that was manifest as a cloud or as a pillar of fire, or even as what was seen as the appearances of angels inside the Holy of Holies occasionally by the priest. But rather, this was a plan, a pattern for another tabernacle, the tabernacle of God. And what is that tabernacle? Well, today we celebrate Pentecost. It is the third most holy feast of the year, third only to Pascha, the Feast of Feasts, which we just celebrated, and only following the Nativity. Pentecost is closely tied to these great feasts. If we look back at the beginning of the liturgical year within the Western Rite, we came to the Nativity, the celebration of the appearing of the God who became flesh, Emmanuel. This was God visible in human flesh, for the first time made visible to the world in the birth of a baby child, the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. But his life and his ministry was to empower us, to bring us into that life, that divine life that he represented, that he became a pattern for. In fact, after every Mass, I say the prologue of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and in the 14th verse, the last, I read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So at the Nativity, we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw that through the life of Jesus' ministry, his public ministry, we see the works, we see the miracles, even the resurrections that Jesus performed. But at Pentecost, I declare to you that the Word dwells among us, but the Word also, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, now dwells within us. You see, the tabernacle of God is now the people of God, the church of God, the body of Christ. And we see this in this morning's gospel lesson from the Gospel of St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus begins in verse 23 saying, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come to him," and listen to this, "and make our home with him." Make our home. Jesus is talking about the Father who gives Jesus the word, that is the commandments, and that if we keep the commandments, that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus has given the promise that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will come and make their dwelling within us. You see, from that 14th chapter of John chapter 1, the word for the word that's given, the word became flesh and dwelt to tabernacle. It literally means to tabernacle. God tabernacled among us. But Pentecost is the gift of God in us, the church, becoming the tabernacle of God. We become indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And how does this happen? Well, through our entrance into the church, we know that it was baptism. It was baptism by which we were joined to the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. In our baptism, there is a remission of sins. There is a cleansing of the soul. And in this, we are resurrected in new life to Christ. But it's not only in water. If you were here for Matins this morning, you heard Deacon Stephen read from the third chapter of St. John, the story of Nicodemus, in which Jesus said to him, "Unless you are born of water and the Spirit," or you must be born of water and the Spirit. So in baptism, it doesn't stop at baptism, but rather baptism is being joined together with Pentecost, with the fire, with the power of Pentecost. Our chrismation was our personal Pentecost. We become endowed with the gift of the Holy Spirit through the sealing of the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the oil of chrism, not in a magical way, but because we have confessed the faith in the church and the promises of God. We have come to the tabernacle of God, and in fact, we have become part of the tabernacle. In fact, at Pentecost, we are the tabernacle of God. God dwells in you and me, the Blessed Trinity. This is the glorious gift of Pentecost. Now we see the miraculous that is brought about as a result of this. We saw that the disciples from the second chapter of Acts, that they were waiting in accordance to what the Lord had commanded, to wait in Jerusalem. And there in that upper room, they waited and they prayed. And if you were here last Sunday, you heard Deacon Stephen preach that it is in silence, in the silence of prayer, that God speaks to our heart. But he didn't say that it ended there. And if in silence God speaks, then in service, that is in love, in divine love, God is made visible and manifest. And so the disciples there in that upper room were in prayer, in the silence of prayer. And unlike Elijah, in which God was not present in the wind, God was not present in the earthquake, but in that still small voice, here at Pentecost, in the silence of prayer, the Holy Spirit descended as a mighty rushing wind, and as fires, as tongues of fire upon each of their heads, not upon one, but upon each, representing that God now tabernacled with his people, with the church. You see, the incarnation did not end with Jesus alone. In fact, earlier in St. John, the 14th chapter of St. John, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." You see, Jesus in his ascension allowed the opportunity and in the plan of God for the Holy Spirit to descend at Pentecost, to take those apostles, that ragtag band of men who often were weak in their faith, who were dull in their uptake, who suddenly became the tabernacle of God. They became the church with power, with the glory of God, such that as Peter got up and proclaimed, even in the face of ridicule, even in their proclamation of the praises of God and in the miraculous praises of God in all different tongues and languages, so that all the visitors to Jerusalem could understand in their own tongue, and were ridiculed and mocked as being drunk. Here Peter proclaimed the glory of God in a manner in which 3,000 in one day, through one sermon, 3,000 were added to the church. This is the glory and the power of Pentecost. We look at this and we perhaps struggle with the idea of, well, we've come to the Orthodox faith. This is the church of Pentecost. This is a church of the apostles. And yet we struggle to get maybe 30 people in 10 years, let alone 3,000 people in one day. Is the Holy Spirit any less present? And the answer is no. And yet there is some sense in which we have forgotten, or we have lost. We have brought about an attitude of comfortable spirituality, such that the power of the Holy Spirit, we do not allow the power of the Holy Spirit to work and to abide in a way that God is calling us to. And of course, God moves in different ways and through different ages, but the power of the Holy Spirit is no less present, no less powerful. We are the tabernacle of God. We make visible God himself through our service, through our works of charity, as Deacon Stephen preached last week, through our obedience to God's commandments. You see, God remains invisible. Christ remains invisible to the world, except by you and me. Yesterday, as I went to St. Patrick's Orthodox Church, our sister Western Rite Church down in Warrenton, Virginia, for the celebration of the Vigil of Pentecost, which was a glorious celebration. As I sat during the beginning of the Mass, there behind the altar, they have an ocular window, a round window, at the very top of the apse behind the altar. And the morning light in the east there was shining through the window and flooding the floor at the base of the altar. And as I looked across, I realized that I could only see that light. I could only see that as a beam of light only because of the smoke of the censer rising. And it was only because of the smoke particulate matter in the air, the smokiness around the altar, that you could visibly see the light. You see, light, the scripture tells us that God is light. And even in the physical realm, and of course we know it's uncreated light, but even in the physical realm, the created light gives us a sense of what God is telling us. That light, as it goes through a vacuous space with nothing to reflect it, is unseen. It is only as it comes into contact with something else, that the light is diffused and that others can visibly see it. This is what God has done. This is what God has done in the church. Christ is visibly present through you and me by the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The risen Lord is here, even in my preaching and teaching. The risen Lord is here through me, this broken vessel. The presence of God is made manifest in you all. The glory of God now dwells and abides in each of us who keeps His word, who keeps His commandment. We are the tabernacle of God. We make visible the glory of God. And yet we struggle, don't we? We struggle in our own lack of faith, our own lack of obedience. We struggle in our own broken humanity, in our impulses and addictions, in our sinful ways, in our disappointments, in our lack of trust in the living word. And I believe this is why St. Paul in 2 Corinthians said, we have this treasure. What is it? The treasure of the gospel. The treasure of the triune God within us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're cracked pots. We're chipped up. We're broken people. And yet God has chosen you and me to incarnationalize, to enflesh the glory of not just Christ, but of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We become the tabernacle of God. And so even as I confess my own sins, yet the people declare, Axios, you are worthy. And as you confess your sins, the church declares to each of you, Axios, you are worthy. Why? Because you are the holy, unspotted, unblemished body of Christ. You are the holy tabernacle of God. This is the great gift of the Holy Spirit. The great gift of the Holy Spirit in mediating the very presence of God who now dwells within us. Let us go forth in that reality, that even as we struggle with our own inadequacies and weaknesses, even as we struggle with our own sins, let us give ourselves over to the fire of His divine love so that He may purify us in body and soul and heart, that we may go forth inflamed with the healing presence of our Lord to serve, to love, to draw others into His kingdom. For we, you and I, we are the tabernacle of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.